You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to know your lane.
It's just happened too many times finally said no thanks.
Well, you're hanging out in a lot of lines these days with old people.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Positive Thursday, and our main man, Jonas Siegel, is riding shotgun with myself and Brian Hayes. This is the Jeff O'Neill Show from 4 to 7 here on TSN 1050. Agreed?
I think that sounded pretty good. You're getting comfortable with jumping in and kind of getting the party started.
Yeah, I like it.
That was pretty solid. That was like a professional intro.
Although you didn't say that Jonas is from the Canadian press.
Right.
We have to make sure we do that.
We don't need to pump his tires more than we do.
Well, we like having Jonas in here. And the reason Jonas is here is because Noodles is in Ottawa tonight. And Noodles isn't going to be here tomorrow either because he's going to L.A. for the All-Star weekend. And Jonas won't be in here tomorrow either because he is off to Los Angeles, California.
Mono a mono tomorrow?
It will be a two-man show tomorrow.
We will mail that thing in, won't we?
Well, we'll see how the Leafs play tonight. They're
honestly
in Philly
tomorrow. Mark, listen up. We are going to play a ton of audio tomorrow. Ton of audio, hit the phone lines, and just extra commercials. However you can mail it in, we are mailing it in.
Well, we were thinking about opening the phone lines up today. Maybe we save it for tomorrow. Because if the Leafs pick up a win tonight, this team is on fire right now, Jonas. They are absolutely on fire. They are playing like one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. And I kind of get the impression like Leaf fans are still a little bit nervous to like really come out and start getting loud about this. And
I get a lot of hashtags, we're actually good. I don't think they're like that.
I think it's easy to tweet that out. I think it's another thing to be at the water cooler and talking about it, to call into shows and talk about it, to show up to games, to commit to, you know, putting money aside because I want to buy playoff tickets. I don't think Leaf fans are quite there yet. And I can understand that because there's still a lot of games left to be played. And they're into a spot, and they got games in hand on all of these teams behind them. So they're actually further into a spot than the standings actually tell you. The standings are a little bit deceptive because they have so many games in hand. But I have a poll question. I'm still trying to figure out exactly how to phrase it on Twitter. But I think this would say a lot about how confident Leaf fans actually are. This is a good one.
Oh, boy.
I got into this one a couple of years ago. I think it was Bruce Arthur who was on with me at the time. It was in the summer. We were talking about the Jays. And this was before they went on that big run or just at the start of that big run. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it had been 20 years since they had been in the playoffs. Now, I'm going to apply this logic in this poll to the Maple Leafs, and I'll be curious to see what people have to say. We'll get to tweets, emails, text messages.
Have you already fired this out?
I haven't thrown it out yet because it's more difficult on Twitter because we're dealing with limitations on, you know, the characters and how you really phrase it.
We'll help you word it.
But this is the premise. Would you sign off on the second wild card right now, guaranteeing they make the playoffs, but they're the second wild card, and they're going to play either Washington or Pittsburgh in the first round? Would you guarantee it right now, or would you let it ride and put belief that they can actually move further up the standings and either be second or third in their division? Maybe home ice, maybe play Ottawa or Boston. But at the same time, if you let it ride,
there's a chance they're out, period.
It could fall apart on you.
I'm taking the second wild card all day long.
You would guarantee the wild card right now?
Because I know that's just, you're in. and then you're praying on an upset. But I'll take that over all the teams that are clumped together and a bunch of them making a runs, and the Leafs all of a sudden, Freddie Anderson, there's an injury, and who knows what the heck can happen. I want to take automatic playoffs. Selfishly and big picture, I think that's the right way to go about it.
I don't think your question makes sense.
Oh, God, here we go.
I don't understand.
Noodles' little brother Jonas is here.
It's unbelievable. That's exactly what Noodles would say.
Well, because
it's his little brother, his little pipsqueak brother.
It's a hypothetical question.
I know,
Jonas.
But so let's say you're going for second.
Hey, first of all, before you answer it, you have to act like you're a Leaf fan.
But
no, you don't. No, you don't. You can be objective.
I can just be objective. I can just see what they are. They're good.
Yeah, but you don't care. So it's just that's why you say it doesn't make sense.
I think they can go for second in the division. I think they're better than Ottawa. I think they're better than Boston. I think they're better than Florida.
Okay, so what do you not understand about the hypothetical?
Because if you go for second, you could still end up with a wild card spot. You're just saying you can guarantee it.
That's
go
all,
for second.
Exactly.
I go for second. They're better than those teams.
Okay, but they could also fall out.
Sure.
But you're willing to gamble.
But what's the big deal if they fall out?
You miss out on a playoff spot.
Yeah, but this is if I told you at the beginning of the year that this is what they were going to be.
That's changed, though, Jonas.
But
everything's changed.
Yeah, but you still have to remind yourself of where this team is in this whole build.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
No,
of
you
course
don't.
You do.
You just said that. You just said, Jonas.
We got a poll of the year going.
Hold on a second.
The poll. You can't do a poll with that question.
You
it's
just said
long.
They're better than Ottawa. You just said they're better than Boston. Did you say that before the year?
No, absolutely not.
So now you think they're better, but all of a sudden we're supposed to have the same expectations that we did in September.
I still think you have to zoom out sometimes and realize what they are and where they are. And, you know, that gets into this conversation that people are having. Should they make this trade? Should they make this big splash? You still have to remember where they are and how good they are and what they can be and where this is going. Like, I know what you're saying. I was thinking driving in here, like, I thought at the beginning of the year they'd be like an 80 to 85 point team. They're on pace for almost 100. They're on pace for one of the best years in their history. Like, forget about anything else.
That's why.
But I still think you kind of got to catch your bearings and remember.
I disagree with you. I think now it's getting to a point where if they miss, that will be disappointing for people, and I think they have the right to be disappointed.
But disappointment doesn't mean that's anything wrong. If they miss, it's still a good year.
That's fine, but why not try to improve upon just a good year? Why not try to gain experience? Well, gaining playoff experience would be very significant, wouldn't you think?
I think for everybody involved, the idea of missing and still a good year, and I know it's 1 year after a rebuild and they're in the middle of basically year two of people being sane and realistic, but the way they played, it's almost like those expectations or that thought process is out the window.
It is out the window for me, and that's why the pessimist in me, which has been driven into me over my 33 years living in this market, would say, take the second wild card, don't mess around.
Yeah, because the realist in us is saying they could hit the skids here.
Oh, absolutely.
But
the other realist in me, watching them play, they're better than that.
Well,
that's why I think I'm going to let it ride.
The other thing
I think I'm going to let it ride.
If you play one of the, let's say you finish third in the division or second in the division, it doesn't matter. You have a better chance of actually moving on.
But that's the point here, Jonas. That's why the hypothetical is important. The second wild card means you're playing Washington or Pittsburgh. There's a very good chance you're getting smoked.
Mm-hmm.
If they finish second or third, it's Ottawa, Boston, Florida. They're as good, if not better, than all those teams. I think at that point, you're talking second-round matchup against the Montreal Canadiens. And I'll let it ride just based on the way they're playing.
They're beatable, too.
I think the Habs are beatable.
But so let me ask you this. If you think I think we'd all agree they're further ahead than we thought. Does that change the conversation about what they should do?
No, nobody's having that conversation.
Of course people are.
Nobody's having that conversation. That they should trade, make a massive blockbuster deal to get a rental.
Did you not read the notes coming into the show?
I read them every single day.
This is being talked about. I'm not saying it's logical or smart.
I think it's a completely fabricated conversation.
Yeah, read the notes.
What's a potential blockbuster? Give me one that's out there.
I don't know. I don't.
Who's giving you these notes?
Do you want to see them? I'll read you them. Hang on.
So Steph's notes.
Well, Steph is trying to create
controversy. It's not Steph's fault. It's what media are doing. I'm not saying it's logical. It's not what I'm doing.
Okay, well, come up with some potential blockbusters, Jonas.
Nobody. I'm being serious here, Jonas. I am not hearing people say trade Nylander and three unprotected protected first round picks for Shattenkirk.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
But then, what would be considered an irrational blockbuster for you?
Well, let's use Shattenkirk as an example. let's say you can't sign him. You just trade for a rental.
They're not doing that.
I know.
And I don't think anyone wants him to do that.
I got to find the line from Craig Custance had a story in ESPN. I got to find the line.
All right. You go search for your line.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to give them more credit. I'm going to put belief in health, which is a big gamble, clearly. But I continue to watch them play teams that they've blown past, like that Detroit team last night. Clearly, like Calgary earlier in the week, they're better than Buffalo. You look at the teams in their division. There's no reason why they can't finish second in the Atlantic. There's no reason they're not good enough to do it. They don't have. They've got the skill. They've got the coaching. They've got the goaltending. I think that is my new objective here. That is my new ceiling in terms of what I believe this team can achieve this year is second in the division. And think about that opportunity to play Ottawa in the first round as opposed to playing Washington or Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. which is where the hypothetical comes in. Because if you sign off on the second wild card, you're rolling into one of those two buildings. You're in big trouble. Like, as much as I'm confident in what the Leafs are doing, they would be bigger underdogs against those two teams than the team was a few years ago against Boston. Much bigger underdogs, in my opinion.
Well, they would be massive underdogs, but what do you want to do? Do you want to prolong that? If down the road, you're going to say, well, we got to go through those guys anyway. So,
but that's in the Eastern Final. You want to do that in the Eastern Final or do it in the first round?
No.
I found it.
Okay, go ahead, Jonah.
So this is the last line in Craig's story. Quote, it's early on in the process for the Leafs to be thinking about making a trade deadline splash, but this is the new NHL where things happen fast. End quote. And then
wow,
Dregs was on TSN 690, and he said he doesn't believe Lou Lamoriello is inclined to make a blockbuster move. His sense is they aren't prepared to move William Nylander for a defensive piece. I'm not saying these like this.
First of all, Craig Custance has what kind of read does he have on the Toronto market? He's an American writer on ESPN that lives in the States.
I'm glad we're throwing water on it because it's.
But you've created this fire.
This is what you guys do every day. What are you talking
from your
about?
Notes.
We have never had a blockbuster conversation. We have avoided that.
Well, then you're more rational than I thought you were.
I guess. But I honestly don't get the impression anyone's sitting there saying, let's go for a Stanley Cup this season, so let's get crazy and start throwing around picks and prospects or anything like that. And I think even without the deal, quote unquote, they're good enough to get in.
Mm-hmm.
They're good enough to push for second or third in their division the way that they're playing right now.
But I think what's important is they're way further ahead than I thought they were. Like, I thought next year would be the one where they get in, and then the year after they could start potentially making a run. I think next year is the one where they can actually, they can be, I don't know about a cup contender, but a contender for something.
Well, if you believe they can get through to a second or third round.
Yeah, next year.
What would you define? No, but you just said you think the Habs are beatable. Ottawa and Boston, you said the Leafs are better than those two teams.
Yeah.
So what are the expectations this year, right now?
Good question.
Like, that's what I'm saying. We got to stop living in September. Where I'll be the first to look in the mirror. I didn't think they would be competing for a playoff spot. I didn't think they would be a playoff team.
Not after the way they started, the goaltending. You're thinking, okay, this is really year two of a possible lottery pick.
Right, and I thought the kids would have more issues than they have. Auston Matthews last night put on an absolute clinic. Absolute clinic. Detroit had no answer for him. And you know what? I expect them to do the same thing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the Mitch Marner show showing up again tonight. These kids are not slowing down.
They're stars in the league immediately.
They're stars in the league.
And you're right. You know what? Like, I read a quote from Alan Vigneault last night, and he basically said talent has no age. He's right.
You don't have to show anybody your driver's license when you step on the ice.
Yeah.
You don't.
Crosby won a cup. Was he 21? Taves was 20 or 21? Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I talked about it during the World Cup with the team, the North American team. I'm like, Leaf fans should be excited about this because look how good that team is right now and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Leafs are basically young guns, and they're proving that they can play with anybody.
Mm-hmm. I said yesterday, man, I had all the faith in the world they were going to go into Detroit and spank the Red Wings. And
you were
not,
like, automatic on that.
It was
like,
almost guaranteed win night for me. Like, lock of the century. And that's exactly what they did.
Man, that Detroit team, look, that was a weird look for that group.
They're not good.
Like, they got to think about unloading Zetterberg. I don't know what they got. Cronwall.
He has a lot of years left, though. So does Cromwell.
They have a lot of years left?
Yeah, it's not a good situation there.
Go ahead and tell me the length, because I'd be interested in that.
You're not going to like this. Okay, let's find it.
What are they, both 35 years old?
Zetterberg is 36. His contract expires in 2021. About six cap hit.
That's outrageous.
Cronwell expires in 2019, 475. He's 36. They signed Franz Nielsen, who's good, but 32. His contract expires in 2022. So, it's not good.
No, they're in big trouble. Because I think that pursuit for the playoffs every single year, it means a lot to the organization. Mm-hmm. And they've got an owner in Mike Ilitch who... maybe the best owner of the past 25 years in pro sports. He owns the Tigers, too, and they spend, and they've been to World Series. He's not young anymore. I think he's probably thinking, I'm not sure I'm in the mood for a rebuild.
He doesn't have a choice. They're not. They are going to have to.
But there's a big difference
That's a tough move going into a new building under a rebuild.
That's what I'm saying.
That market there were some times where the team was good, and during the regular season, that crowd support wasn't exactly there all the time. Playoffs, obviously, it ramps up. They had a lot of success, but
hey, they're
going to find
anyway.
A lot about Hockey Town and Red Wing Hockey with a young team that's getting dummied every night. We're going to see what they're going to put in the stands.
They may end up with a top five pick anyway, but it won't be on purpose.
Yeah,
and that is where I think it gets dangerous. That's where you make mistakes. That's where every offseason you try to double down and you sign the 31-year-old to a big contract.
Yep.
That's when you trade picks away for guys who are not really going to help you. You have to acknowledge you're not any good and this is in your best interest to reload, retool, whichever way you want to phrase it. It's very difficult to do. Very difficult. And if you're the owner spending that kind of money, I can understand why you'd hesitate to sign off on it.
Well,
but you have to in a hard salary cap world.
Think about the decision Mike Babcock made. So the three choices, I guess we would say, were Buffalo, Toronto, Detroit. Detroit, we just saw what they are. Not good. Buffalo, they're okay.
Yeah.
But look at this here.
I'm a lot more optimistic with Buffalo now that Eichel's come back. They got some mojo going.
But I mean, like, look at what he has in Toronto. I don't know.
I think he's pretty happy with his choice.
I would say.
I think he picked the right door. Definitely getting out of Detroit. Like, in a weird way, he pulled a Patrick Waugh, even though his contract was up. And I think it was time for him to go. He had been there for a decade. But looking back on it, I think he knew Detroit was in a really bad spot. Now, he couldn't have known that the Leafs would be doing this.
Well, he didn't know that lottery win for the Leafs is just so massive.
It's massive.
Yeah.
It's massive.
You can't even quantify like how much of a
difference. And every day, the difference, and when everybody says, well, it wasn't the McDavid year we won the lottery, we got Taylor Hall. The difference between Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid is shrinking almost daily, saying, I'm glad we got this one instead of that one.
He is in that group. He's not in the Nugent Hopkins.
No.
McKinnon or any of that.
McKinnon
no,
group.
No,
exactly.
No,
he's
no.
He's not.
No.
He's in that, this guy is a superstar type of group. Like, he set the tone again last night. I think that was his 10th opening goal of the season.
Well, but even the way he scored it.
That shift
was remarkable.
Puts it through
his legs, kicks it to his stick, and then flips it backhand.
Well,
I'm somewhat surprised he hasn't had more big nights. I know he's contributing often. He's scoring on the road, but those 3 or 4 point nights where stars do, they go on runs and they just rack them up. He would be dummying everybody if he can get on some of those runs.
Still a lot of time for that, too.
You're saying it's going to happen.
I don't know, man. I don't think he's going to slow down. I really don't get that impression.
Well,
like, he's going to slow down.
Like, that 15 or 16 goals in like 20 some odd game stretch. He was hot.
He was, but to O's point, it was like a goal a night.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're saying like 2-3 goal night kind of thing.
Oh, like, if he like just fire together a stretch in a month, I think I scored one of my hottest stretches was I scored 19 and 23. And it's like that was my 41 goal season, because you give yourself that comfort where you can go through a little bit of a stretch and then you just keep adding on to it. But when you get hot, you got to just pile them on.
Well, I was on a morning show this morning.
Causing problems.
Well, this is Dreger's line, is to get radioed. And it's probably fitting because this show has probably done it to other people a lot of times. But I was asked.
Ronnie Wilson?
Oh, no, yeah. Not necessarily. But
Bill, right?
Yeah, he radioed himself, I think.
That was him. Those were his comments. No one took anything out of context. But sometimes to get people to listen online, right, they got to come up with the lead, and there's got to be some, like, blazing marquee, Hayes says whatever, right? And I was asked about the balance of the lines.
You have your exact comments?
I don't, no, but it was about the balance of the top three lines, and could you name a first line? And looking back on it now, I think the Matthews line is the first line simply because of him. Right, it's like Crosby, it's like Tavares. Well, wherever.
The Matthews line is the first line. Bozak is the second line, and Nazem Kadri is the third line. And Nazem Kadri gets power play time.
But here was the argument that I made, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can label it whichever way you want, but throughout the 46 games they've played, these lines have determined who is the number one on any given night.
That's like, called depth and balance.
And that's what
not
I said.
Saying you have three first lines.
I didn't say three first lines.
That's
I said,
what some of the comments are saying about your comments.
Well, you said that they're a millimeter below the Pittsburgh Penguins, I believe.
A millimeter. Get your facts straight. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sound like alternative facts.
I said they're
because
a notch
the
below the elite-level teams. They're not there with Washington, Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
They're a notch below that.
Because the way I read it, it sounded like that was the direction you were taking.
Well, this then you're just like the greasy fans that send us obnoxious tweets then.
Well, you're doing that to me.
No, I'm not.
You're the one putting words in my mouth.
Well, your statement is they have three first lines.
No, that's not what I said.
That's what the headline said.
No, it doesn't. It says three top lines. And again, what I said was on any given night, each line will determine who the top line was that night, which I think is factual.
That's fair.
You could have really been like straightening things out by saying, I love the balance.
I think I said that.
No, I'm pretty sure
I said that.
You said they got three top lines. That's a big difference between that and I love the balance.
That's being a politician. That's choosing your words too carefully, isn't it? You want them to be real.
I was being real.
Do you want to know what's funny? They do, the pregame warm-up, they do the lines. They run through the lines. They have Kadri's line go first, Bozak's line go second, and Matthews' line go third. And if you go into any visiting room and you see the board of how they rank the lines, Matthews 1, Bozak 2, or Kadri 2 sometimes. But it's just funny how the coach tries to kind of make this.
What does Mike think? That the other coach is going to be like, oh, that's their third line because they're going third? I've been in warm-ups where the coach says, everybody just find a line so the other coach can't write anything down. It means nothing. It's stupid.
Well, and also the importance of the center ice position generally determines the impact of the line. And from that standpoint,
Matthews, no matter what,
Matthews is number one.
Yeah.
But Kadri is on pace for 35 goals, and there have been nights where that line has carried this team during big games, thinking of the Edmonton game in particular, amongst others. And the same thing with the Marner, Bozak, JVR line, where they're putting up a ton of points. They've been intact since game one. So, because of the balance, because these three lines have the ability to all play like top lines on any given night, makes the opposition's job very difficult. And that was the case last night with Detroit. You know, they didn't even know who to stop, when to stop them.
How do you match up?
Because it was wave after wave after wave.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like what they have in Chicago. When you have Kane on one line, Taves on another, and Matthews is more explosive than Taves. You know what I mean? Like, I guess it's just like a choice. How do you choose to match up? Like, what do you do? What would you do if you were an opposing coach? Who would be your first matchup? Matthews won for sure, right?
Yeah, I need somebody to stop him.
And then you have to stop Marner. And then if you can do that, then you have Kadri and Nylander on another line.
The bottom line is whoever's going out against that third pairing, and that's might be what he's talking about, whether you're at home or on, whoever gets that third pairing from the opposite team, you got to take advantage of them. Because I played on a line with Alex Steen and Matt Stajan, and we got third pairings, and we would eat them alive for fun because they're junk. They're just out there. You do whatever you want. Get it in, and you hit them, and you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's a good example because wherever Sundin was playing, that was the top line by definition.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there were nights where you guys walked out of there for 3 or 4 points apiece, and you said that given night we were the top line because we had the ability to put up those kind of numbers. And that's what I was expressing this morning. Is that any given night, like tonight, maybe the Kadri line just dominates. And would anyone be surprised?
No.
And when they do, you don't walk away and say, wow, they got really lucky. Their third line carried them tonight. You walk away and say, yeah, I know, Kadri's on pace for 35, and Nylander's a beast as a rookie. And so It's just a good spot to be in. And now without Morgan Riley, they're 2-1-1. So you talk about playing with house money. He's not going to play tonight.
Yeah, they got to get greedy tonight. I said going into the break, 2 out of 3 and everything's good. You're going into the break, you're confident, but get greedy tonight. Take this one tonight and like ding up Philadelphia and put them down a little bit and move on. Get greedy. Take them all.
And Philly played on the road last night. Yeah. So you're both dealing with the same situation tonight. We'll continue to tee it up throughout the afternoon. A lot of people texting in, tweeting in about the hypothetical poll question.
Mm-hmm.
One gentleman named Mike texting in saying, I'd take the wild card spot right now. There are zero expectations for this team. Face Pitt or Wash and gain experience of a loss against a great potential cup team. I disagree with that. The expectations, again, I think are starting to move up. Waiter texting in saying, this team is showing some serious jam right now for a young, inexperienced roster. This is too fun to watch. I can't wait to see the second half. I say let it ride. I think they can get as high as second in the division. So people are split at this point.
So post your poll. Did you post it?
No, I'm working on it, Jonas. Don't you worry about it. We'll see what people have to say.
To Jonas's earlier point about like maybe letting it ride this year as far as transactions go, maybe sometimes you just got to look at it from a different perspective. Look how many teams like St. Louis Blues and the Tampa Bay Lightning that have been designed to win for so many years and they haven't. Maybe you just got to say 1 year we got to try to catch lightning in a bottle. And I'm not the only, being stupid and saying that's this year, but
it's
who
it's,
knows,
it's
man.
The years after when these guys are still on their entry-level contracts and they're making nothing. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you can kind of capitalize. That's how Pittsburgh and Chicago both did it, right?
I've talked about that numerous times on this very show.
Well, you got 2 more years after this before Matthews and Marner and Nylander.
And Matthews' second deal is going to be a whopper.
Mm-hmm. Well, as of this summer, McDavid can set the bar because they can negotiate his new deal.
What is it, 12? 12 by 8?
They can say to him, you want 12, go ahead, but we're not going to be very good. That's very simple.
So what do you do if you're a player in that situation? What's fair?
I think it's fair for the player to get as much money as they want.
Yeah.
That's what is fair, and I think that's what the PA would be pushing for, but hockey players are generally team first, and they're so committed to winning, and they want their buddies around, they want their best players around, and the reality of a hard cap situation is
Carey Price is going to be in a very similar spot this summer.
Mm-hmm. You pay that kind of money to one guy. A couple guys have to be shaved off. It has to happen.
Look at Chicago, 10.5 per.
But they had got their cups first before they got paid.
3 cups. Yeah.
Very different story when you haven't got there yet. You haven't won. And maybe over the next 2 years that happens for Edmonton, who are on fire. They won again last night, man. Maybe the Maple Leafs. We'll continue to track this hypothetical question. Rays coming up just after 5. The Insiders, Dregs and Bob, both in studio at 6:20. Raps have lost 5 in a row. Tension in Cleveland with LeBron and the coach and the owner. And some Brent Musburger audio from the Dan Patrick Show. We got to get back into our boy Musburger. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. All right, we figured out the wording for this poll question. I'm going to get beaked on Twitter because if you didn't listen to the first segment, you may not quite understand the context. But asking Maple Leaf fans, would you sign off on the second wildcard spot right now? And in doing so, you're going to play either Washington or Pittsburgh in the first round. Or would you let it ride, risk the idea that you fall off a cliff, you don't make the playoffs at all, but at the same time, leave open the opportunity to finish either second or third in your division and play a beatable team. So the poll's only been up for like 3 minutes. 75% of people are saying, no, let it ride. A lot of Leaf fans out there feeling very confident right now. Watch this. They'll lose 3 in a row. We'll post the same poll, and people will say 100% guarantee. We're going to get you to answer this too, Jonas. Because
I'll answer it right now.
All right, go ahead.
I would let it ride. I would go for it. Because this season, like it, anything they do basically is house money, I think, for them. Because I don't think they expected this. I don't think anybody did. So if you can take a chance and maybe win a round, maybe win two. I don't know. It changes like the whole picture. A wild card spot losing 5-6 games doesn't
I just fired it a retweet, anything. So you might get some heavy traffic.
Thank you very much. The thing is, what I will say, and this can go both ways, and I believe they're going to be in this all the way to the end anyway. I don't think this is going to be an 18-wheeler. Like, I don't expect to be playing Brian Burke clips in a month and a half. So I think the rest of the season is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. If you do guarantee a spot, that means you know the rest of the season will be fun. And they're going to win games, and they're going to stay in it. And at some point, they're going to have a regular season game that means they can punch their ticket that night. But I'm starting to feel more and more confident just watching them play. They're a good team. We'll continue to track that throughout the afternoon. We'll get Ray fired up on Hypothetical Thursday.
Get Bobby fired up on that. He loves them.
I can't wait to ask Bob.
You won't, though.
All right, then you ask him.
It's your deal, dude.
I'll throw it at him. I'll ask. I got to phrase it differently, though. Yeah. Like, how do you think the Maple Leafs would answer this? I don't know. Let's think about how we phrase that properly to get Bob to...
Just remember, there's a good chance he'll hate any way you throw it at him.
Yeah, I know that. All right, we got about 2 hours to figure that out. We'll keep teeing up the Leaf game tonight. Grit Griner later in the hour. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. All right, Grit Griner later in the hour. Ray just after 5. I'm a bit surprised. Oh, Doug, you have not referenced the fact that Jonas has a new haircut. And I think you may have kind of pushed that along.
Well, not he true. Started being realistic with himself and stopped covering up things up.
No, I
he
had
was
a,
doing the full down a, comb over.
I had a plan to get a haircut the whole time. Friday was my day off. So I did it. Do I comment on your personal style choices? No.
This is not choices. This is real life. You notice how Derek Stepan from the Rangers, he finally had to go Messier up top.
I saw that.
He said, I'm not fooling anyone anymore.
No, there's no point.
He wasn't doing the bacon strip fold over. He couldn't
the
live.
The bacon strip fold.
You know what I mean. Oh, it's windy, it's down by your chin, but you flip it up and mm-hmm. flip it over.
Your hair is the only one that's flipped over right now.
Dude, read a magazine.
Anyway,
You want to hear my gripe of the day? What is with these guys in the NBA that are just saying, I don't want to do this with these losers anymore?
Who said that?
Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade last night, they were like, these guys don't care enough. I don't want to play with losers. What is there, two teams in the league now? Either trade me to Golden State or Cleveland?
Well, that's the power of LeBron. LeBron comes out and says,
well, I know, but Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Love and the Cleveland says, no thanks. How does Kevin Love feel right now? Why does that information need to get out? How
Cleveland
stupid
said
are
no.
these? They said no. Why couldn't it just be left at that? What, now the information gets out? Kevin Love must have a lot of fun walking in that locker room now.
Wait a second. No. You have this backwards. The Knicks asked for Kevin Love.
I know, but why does that even have to be out there?
Like,
it's not fair to the player.
I hear you, but it's the Knicks. The Knicks they're dysfunctional. You know, who knows how that got out. Good for Cleveland, because that would have been a horrible trade. Anyone that acquires Carmelo Anthony is asking for a disaster. He's poisonous because he's not a playmaker. He shoots all day, all night. He's not a winner. His contract is exorbitant. You can't have it. It's not conducive to winning, having a guy like Carmelo Anthony.
Well, he gets back to the conversation we just had. He had a choice where he signed this contract in New York, a big, long-term, massive contract that basically sealed that New York was going to be not that great.
Mediocre.
He chose the money. I don't know. Like, it's an interesting... Like, we go back to Stamkos in the summer. He chose team. Is Carmelo wrong for choosing money?
No. And listen, he's in New York, and this was a time when Phil Jackson was coming aboard, and I think he was hopeful that maybe they would turn a corner. And they acquired Rose and signed Noah, and maybe there was this hope that somehow they would catch lightning in a bottle. Hasn't happened, right? It has not worked for New York. But getting back to you talking about how players are shooting from the hip, now that's the cool thing to do. If LeBron does it, everyone else wants to do it. But you know who isn't talking? It's Golden State. You don't hear anything come out of Golden State. Kevin Durant has found a way to just acclimate himself to that team and somehow mesh perfectly. There's no controversy coming out of that
team.
Well,
they're winning.
Cleveland's still first in the East.
Do you see them stopping winning?
You know, Cleveland's Chicago's not winning right now.
Playoff
That's
team.
Why it's happening. Cleveland's sliding.
I'm telling you, though, even if they were to lose
six of
eight. I know,
but there's no such thing as battling through adversity as opposed to saying, oh, I'm out of here.
Well, look in Toronto. We're not hearing anything from the Raptors that's outlandish. Right?
But they're not.
Dwayne Wade was like, I'm 35 years old. I got three championships. This should hurt them more than it hurts me, but it doesn't. Why the hell did you go there? You basically knew the roster, knew the deal going in. Why'd you go there?
Yeah, it's the Joe Cool move. That's what it is.
Yeah,
the,
it's like I'm God players. And everyone else, you don't care as much as I do.
Right.
And I'm willing to go somewhere else now. It's like, get real.
Well, in the LeBron comments, I don't think enough was made about how his teammates were going to respond to them. And everyone said, okay, how's ownership going to respond? How will the GM respond? How about if you're the guy who thinks you're the playmaker, and he's saying, I need a playmaker?
Yeah, an effing playmaker.
An effing playmaker. Like, if you're Kyrie Irving, if you're Kevin Love, if you're whomever it might be, and you're on that wave with LeBron, and he's sitting there saying, you're not going to cut it for me.
Yeah, but he's talking about, like, their backup point guard. He's talking about, like, their depth isn't good enough.
You don't go on a rant like that for a backup point guard.
You don't see this in hockey. Like, I'm around it all the time where media go up to players, and they're like, do you think you need a defenseman? And the player's like, that's not up for me to decide.
Right.
But LeBron is like, he's his own universe.
Totally different league, right? Like, the NBA is star-driven. The players own the operation.
Yeah.
It's not an owner's league. It's not a GM league. It's a superstar-driven league. And as a result, one guy pops off like LeBron. Wade's got a lot of clout, so he feels like he can do the same thing. Jimmy Butler is kind of the man in Chicago. He feels like he can do the same thing. But I think it says a lot about Golden State. It says a lot about the past 20 years in San Antonio, because you never hear anyone in San Antonio say that, because they're not going to do that to Greg Popovich. And that's another thing that is pretty obvious here, is LeBron looks at Tyronn Lue as Fredo.
A little Corleone. Buddy.
Yeah, you're the guy who I got hired. Don't ever forget that. Like, that's why it's kind of rich. It's almost embarrassing to hear Tyronn Lue come out and say, oh, we had a chat with LeBron. Really? What are you going to say to LeBron James? What, are you going to reduce his minutes? You're going to bench him? You're going to bring him off the bench? Never going to happen.
So you think it's wrong for LeBron to say anything?
No. I'm fine with him saying it. LeBron is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I get it. I just don't. I think there's another way to go about it. Like, if,
privately?
Privately maybe. Instead of making yourself look like a god, a hero, the only guy that tries, it's just... It's ridiculous. They're going through adversity. They had a long season last year. It's the dog days of the season. Just get over it and get ready for the playoffs. You're going back to the finals anyway.
Did you ever have a thing in your career where a player came out on your team and said something stupid, like that embarrassed the team or pissed the team off?
Well, I can't recall every comment from my 12 years of playing, but... I'm sure there's been some dumb... Nothing like this, though.
Like, what would you do if you were a teammate and you saw him the next day? Would you care?
What are you going to do?
Hey, LeBron, what are you talking about there?
Yeah, these players, they understand. Because if they do chirp LeBron, he says, all right, give me your ring back. Because I gave that to you personally. You have a ring because of me. And don't ever forget that. There's nothing you can do or say to LeBron James. Nothing. And he
Maybe
deserves that kind
of
clout. He deserves it. He's the man. He put Cleveland on the map. Cleveland on the map.
You really don't like Cleveland.
It's a nothing city. And from a sports standpoint, it has not been anything for the longest time until LeBron showed up.
It was basically Major League until he showed up.
Right. So don't forget that. If you're his teammates, if you're the GM, if you're Tyronn Lue, Wade is a little bit different because he's only been with the team for like 45 games. Like, yeah, you won titles, but in Miami. Not in Chicago. We'll get to the Grit Grinder. We're tracking Tiger Woods as well at the Farmers. Massive field every year, I guess. This kind of kickstarts the PGA Tour. But the expectations for Tiger, I don't know.
Not very big for me.
Not really that high. So we'll get you an update on that. We'll talk a bit about it. And race coming up just after 5 p.m. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. All right, Ray's coming up in about 10 minutes, and we have a beautiful hypothetical question for him. So you know he's always in the mood for that. The Insider's coming up at 6:20. But we've got a great contest that is going to begin on Monday. around this time, around 4:45, 4:50.
And I'm going to run the show on it.
I think you're going to run the show. And Noodles and I will kind of play the role of sidekick.
You guys can take a lap.
That's fine. It's your show, whatever you want to do, and great giveaways, and it's going to be a daily occurrence. And
we're going to call it the Dog Bites?
No, we're not calling it that.
What are we calling it?
We got a name for it.
Oh.
It's Take It or Leave It Trivia, which would be right up your alley, I think.
Yeah.
So look forward to that starting on Monday. You can win cash, you can win prizes, you can win trips, a lot of good things going on starting on Monday. We'll get you an update on what's going on with Tiger, and there's a Canadian sitting atop the Farmers as well. Maybe he'll come up in the Grit Grinder. You guys ready to hit it?
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
I'm going to go with the three Canadians I saw on the leaderboard at Torrey Pines. I think it was Hearn, Dillette, and Hadwin.
Well, as it currently stands, Hadwin is tied in the lead with Justin Rose. He's at 6 under, and he's on 18. Graham Dillette, 3 under through 15. Nick Taylor's at 2 under through 16.
There was one more.
Brad Fitch, Mackenzie Hughes are both at 2 under. There's a lot of Canadians.
Okay, I got the one wrong, but all the Canadians at the tournament.
Yeah, okay. Tiger's at 1 under. Right now, through 11.
Nice.
So he's chugging along.
I could go into mail-it-in mode now that we have it on the two.
Yeah, I noticed that. All right, Jonas, who you got?
I'll take Vince Carter, who turns 40 today. He played 30 minutes last night. Is that who you were going to take?
No, I would never choose Vince, ever.
Why?
Because I don't like Vince.
Still.
I still have a grudge.
He's still mad that he went to graduation in Game 7.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to talk about this.
40 years old, though. 40 and still in the NBA. You got to give him credit.
And playing a lot.
And he's playing on a playoff team. Matthews and Freddie Anderson. Freddie with back-to-back 4-0 shutouts. Matthews, I thought, was unbelievable last night. Leafs in Philly tonight. Hour two up next. This is Overdrive on the TSN Go app.